So the open mic, first out we have Gabriela, sorry, I couldn't read her handwriting. Gabriela, welcome.
Good evening. I don't really have poetry with mine tonight because I don't have my things with me. But I have a poet, anyway, which is a Portuguese poet from the 16th century called Luís Camões. And I'm going to share with you a folk song from my country, and the lyrics are about poets. So it's a combo with poetry and music, which is like the massive, the work of art of myself. So it will be in Portuguese, but it's basically, it's a love song, it's all about love songs, 16th century and how people die for it, so that's fine.
This is a poem called Poetry. Poetry! Poetry, poetry, poetry! Poetry, existential drivel dripping from the mouth. Poetry, political puss oozing from the pores of renegades and social lepers. Poetry, last refuge of a lost man. Poetry, beauty wrapped up in tinfoil. Poetry, milk flowing down from the tits of history. Poetry, collective consciousness of the expanding universe. Poetry, sex and bombs mixed in your coffee. Poetry, moon and shadow lamenting existence. Poetry, naked women working jackhammers digging out the underground. Poetry, dead cows hanging from your windows. Poetry, do you have the right to kill? Poetry, sunlight pouring down dirty chimneys. Poetry, varicose veins on your grandmother's legs. Poetry, the fool's mechanism to strive for wisdom. Poetry, my piss pot has been stolen. Poetry, are you meaning? Poetry, are you sound? Poetry, are you feeling? Poetry, are you music? Poetry, come forward, identify yourself. Poetry, the ring of pleasure on a fattening ute. Poetry, the worship of monkeys in gold suits. Poetry, the planets in motion. Poetry, the makeshift cave of a lost tribe. Poetry, the vomit patterns of a footpath drunk. Poetry, the ice caps are melting. Poetry, Persia is burning. Poetry, I don't care. Poetry, please pay my fucking rent. Poetry, 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 banging on my door at 6 a.m. Poetry, gold in the mines of Brazil. Poetry, the inclusion of exclusion. Poetry in the young girl's neck. Poetry in movements, poetry in breathing, poetry in dreaming, poetry in believing, poetry the last sounds of the summer's evening. Poetry, 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 banging on my door at 6 a.m. Poetry, I have to get up. Poetry in the ceiling, poetry in the floor, poetry in the bed and the roots of my Irish head. Poetry, goodbye. Poetry, I love you, let us stay. Poetry in my pen, poetry in the air, poetry we must dare, we must penetrate this limpid air. Poetry, the staff in your hand, the crow upon your shoulder. Poetry, the journey you must take.
David Brennan, well done. Come again. Next, we have Bernadette McCarthy.
For me, that's brilliant. And wonderful. This is called Business Meeting in Idaho Cafe. Your clean Franciscan pate peels me out of my coffee as blood hunts my country out from under the tweed of your city gate cheeks. Stiff limbs could lengthen the mind. Lips firm to business deal would yield as butter if let be. Let me grab the roll silk tie from over your shoulder and drag you up the breast of Vedic Mountain to stare across the glacial rift of Finbar, the double woven lake, the seam that hides the precious parts.
Thank you, Bernadette. And next we have Sue Blue, our five-word challenge winner.
Thanks very much. This is a very new piece. I too had to write something about what's going on in the world. Right, I'll just read. The incandescent seam of dusk. At the glowing seam of dusk, the golden west gleams incandescent, luring with translucent lies across abysmal ocean tides, a wave of wanderers ashore, who crawl in raw from exodus to tattered tents with leaking roofs that flutter helpless in the storm seeking shelter from the stream of blood and bombs and falling walls. A million souls have lost their homes, roaming now across this orb, stirred by transcendental hopes, pleading for a better world, deceived by visionary calls. But the mirage of golden promise drowns in darkness with the gloam. Now stuck in ghettos, borders closed, the incandescent glow of lies slings iron ties around sore knees and ropes a million seeking souls into the occidental fault that looms behind the seam of dusk. The promise of the golden west evades in empty handouts now, reveals the dusty guise of wars fought on the blood of refugees, constrained in veins of fear and grief, seeking shelter in false dreams for a truer truth to follow. Yet this mirage of golden promise, the incandescent seam of dusk, has doomed 100 million lives to gloom, migrating beggars now, displaced in vain by hollow lies.
I apologize in advance for reading this probably wrong. I think it's Owen? No, maybe it's not Owen.
Oh, right.
Jesus. Forgive my Irish. I don't exist in Irish.
Ashley, Kaita, Pian Brat, Pian Lash, or Danga in Ira, Guiche or Brat, Water Charges, or Maher, if fair deed, Cahin, a dog, and bow down, their first day, Arclea, Corky.
Thank you, Owen. And next we have Brian O'Connell.
Excited when I wrote this the other evening, and at about 2 o'clock in the morning I thought titled Obesity was a very clever title. At 3 I wasn't really sure what I meant anymore, but it's got nothing to do with the fact that I was an overweight child, but here we go, titled Obesity. I indulge to divulge the good thing, like unwrapping secret chocolate I know I shouldn't eat because I'm fat. All bloated from the buzz the good thing gives me, feeling like these things are for me too. Loathed self. I don't forget the good things should be small. I'm starving, but I overeat. I'm sad because you're full. It's not fair that you do not need to ration out your good things to stop you making yourself sick.
Thank you, Daniel. And next we'll be O'Connell.
This is a poem about butterflies. It's called Rainbow on the Wing. Sunlight washes over fern and flower, clearing a runway for butterflies as they open over grass, catch color from the air. We are as varied as these creatures. Some of us mirror their unfolding when, in our cabbage days, we crawl through rows of sameness, force-fed on monotony, till toppled by a dark turn of the world, we wake encased in suffocating black, like the larva of a vanised. Caught in its cocoon, then suddenly propelled into the light, we soar into the air. For those who follow their enchantment, they can hold a flickering moment, diaphanous and delicate, like dryads that materialize from myth and remind us of loved ones who have died. We might watch a silver-washed philately cling to a frail-stemmed buttercup, wait for a green-veined mite to cross our path, find ourselves transfixed by the signal of a tortoise shell flashing its orange striated wings as it tastes the pestle of a buddleia. Now it's a clouded yellow tossed out from a ditch, a purple hair streak that shades a holly blue, a dingy skipper near a painted lady, red admirals and brimstones that blaze like burning coals against a wall, perhaps holding in the quiver of their wings the spirit of the ancestors.
Thank you, Mary. And next we have Charles.
I think it's likely that I'm the only person present who was at, who heard Brendan Kennedy read in Derry about 50 years ago, and followed by a very genial evening at Dan's in Bontrana, converted railway station, then a pub. We had a very enjoyable evening. Boarding with Cotton Jimmy is a poem I've written before, but I had made an effort to redo it. It there are two stories. Boarding with Cotton Jimmy. It was always risky. The engine failed and you had to row home. With luck or skill, we drifted into the shipping channel, and then with a cousin, I took up my oar. At Whitty Island, we had arrived safely. Tobin Slip was our gateway, barbed wire and cow dung to avoid. Some swam. For the older generation, it was the house, no ruins, that attracted. Their aunt had lived there, pushed out by De Valera, the emergency. They demanded tillage, no excuses accepted, nor youth nor age. A lad summoned from school to be farmer and cattle dealer could not face impossibilities on an island. With mixed emotions, pity, nostalgia for their usual holidays, our party went through the open door and risked the creaking stairs to the empty rooms of a long-gone family.
Thank you, Charles. And next we have Patricia Walsh.
Wrote it today, so it's been rough on the edges, and at best it doesn't make any sense, but I'll try it anyway. It's called Blood Poisoning. Cold as it is, revived for a dance, the poetic failures of quality control. Eating on borrowed time, the graceful skirt on the breeze, however thankful. Unmentionable, undecipherable even. Quality assurance knocks on solid doors. For pending misdemeanors, harassment such like. An appropriate snack bar and southern comfort. Not here to make sense, confuse the enemy. Reading into my diaries to ascertain the heart. The horror of reality is somehow stuck. Bar from fearing a secret darkness. Cables circle around untidy to beasts. A vortex of the unnameable sleeping past. Rise up to call blessed a facetious pact. One all stay up forever. Feeding ego through in effort, entitlement still latent. An angle over preferment, glory forestalled. Not extinguished instant gratification blues. Drinking of 10 hours amongst true friends. Married to one another, in truth, word and deed. Rebuffed in time to avoid costly mistakes. Not becoming what said, just to back off. And make way for true love, conquering none. Thank you.
Thank you, Patricia. And next we have Ray. Ray Hansen.
This is one I've had from about 12 years ago, and I stood up and got a title for it. It's short. Everywhere we are forced to imbibe poison, soft thinking designed by hard hearts to fool us all for all time into calling chains freedoms, cartelism choice, falseness authenticity. We now have wolves for shepherds. Feel those meat stamps on our arses as we get frog marched to the abattoir. Thank you.
Thank you, Ray. I think we have Benjamin Burns next.
Sorry. Hesitate for a second, and the person in the bath may turn your tiles into particles of sand. Leave you on the strand with a bucket and a rake and 1,000 days. Break for the dunes, in mad haste covering their dignity with seaweed. A flash of bare arse, and the sea's hollow roar, all that's left as you comb the shore, a vacated tub.
Thank you, Benjamin. Next we have Jenny, and I can't read your last name, so maybe you'll read yourself. Pardon?
To be.
To be.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Jenny the Bee.
Thank you. This is a poem called Preparations. The summer, her youngest decided to hair off halfway across the country alone. My mother bought a pair of sunglasses. While I relearned to stake a pup tent in our yard, she researched brands, decided on one with Australian lenses because the internet said they're the best in the world. While I wrestled with the family camp stove and simple recipes, she debated frames, weighed function against style. While I studied topographical maps, compass skills, snake identification, edible cactuses, and how to settle 3 different canteens into 1 day pack, she paid extra for scratch-guarded lenses. When I woke up early on my 20th birthday to start my first journey of 1,000 miles, there was an oblong case waiting in my car's cup holder. You'll want these. The glare in the desert can be atrocious.
Thank you, Jenny. Next we have Pascal McDonald.
This is just a little notation called This Day, 8:45 a.m. Sunday, 3rd of April 2016. Woke at 8 a.m. prox in the lower bunk, bed J of the 12-bed dorm in room 216 Kinley House Tourist Hostel that is situated on Bob and Jones Walk beneath the sometimes chiming bells of Shandon. Shandon. The angled phonetic sounding of the Clogh Wailuck or Old Irish for Shandoon, meaning Old Fort. This Church of Ireland structure is the city emblem of Cork, or the beautiful city as it is renowned in poem, prose and song. My city, the city that gave to me my mother the strong foundation for my journey in life. Nearby is the home of the late Jack Lynch, sportsman and hurler extraordinaire, who later became chieftain of this island, Ireland. To either side of the walk, there are disused graveyards, both having connections with St. Anne Shandon Church, containing the remains of Cork's children of the past, people known and unknown, people remembered and people forgotten, their epitaphs fading by the day as the elements and growths of mothering nature erase the incised memorials to their being. But their spirits live on in the atmospheric wonderment that is Cork City, and within the more wondrous lives of her children, even under its current great sky that has the temerity to frown upon this wonderful place of living. Mater Natura is in... I can't read my own writing. Mater Natura is in worrisome way and not forthcoming with reason why as to the cause of her frowning brow. So best it be that she is left alone to come to herself in time, true time, feminine time. Soon she will, I hope, for reasons of the self, as I long to see her winsome way evolve into the day. But now, in her brooding form, she has, with beauty this Sunday morn, allowed her lightsome visage become adorned with realism, and shown herself to all Corkonians to see how she truly feels. No one else, just Corkonians. We are special, you see. We are the greatest for sure. Aren't we? Breakfast beckons.
Can I include the monk of Corkonians? Thank you, Pascal. Now, next we have Cedric.
This one is inspired from my way to abundant time on social media. Please don't judge me, I need a hobby. So basically the last breaking news was a swan dying from people yanking it off to take a selfie. So yeah, brilliant.
Dramatic.
So this one's called Portrait. No one likes to be pointed out because they may have to look at themselves as well. That is assuming that there is in the mind still some space for self-reflection, that the noise from the visual world has not blurred the sight of reality. Remember when we cherish our memories? Back then, we took a picture to share a sight. The photo had more meaning and less definition. You had to be there, didn't I? And you had to capture some evidence. What could have been a rumor would be a fact. You'd be a hero for being a witness. With a flash cast over, you were the storyteller. No one could steal your thunder. The witness is now ubiquitous. His version of the story has the value set in the contrast and you. Through the selfie, eyewitness has morphed to eyewitness. Animals, act of terror, human error, all are mere objects before the camera, showing the scene and its cries. All objects, so no one can, but them, but you. Through this adjustment of focus, the first helper is now the accomplice. You had to be there. No, because I would have to plead guilty too.
Thank you, Cedric. And next we have Max Creedon.
Sometimes I put a llama and sometimes I pray. And this is a little routine of where my mind is. I'm supposed to be quite. This is called, just going. Many's the match that was hatched at the mass, and many's the glad eye was cast over heavenly ones in pale and tender as juniper lamb. Many's the silent tear that was siphoned away and hidden in her pocket, and saved up to brew once more and pour again from battered aluminum teapots for one, blackened on log or hot sod. marries the Brahmager that clung to the altar, that milked each syllable for the glorious moment, enunciating her enunciata for her sicula siculorum, that kept a weather eye out for some lovely swine that had the temerity to look her in the eye, that needed a sou to pull from the pulpit. Marries the fragile face that flickers at smiles of passing clouds and twitches to kiss the black Labrador and fix a blue paisley bandana in church. Marries the mother who thumps in her craw and begs that the Lord would spare her from all or less of the dolos. And marries the tie of the subtext when narrates the real content therein. And me, I pray hard and keep my eyes dumb.
Thank you, Liz. And I think next we have Michelle. Michelle, do you want to read?
Hello. This is called Brain Biscuits. What if I told you that I could make you believe anything? Most among you skeptical. Some patiently waiting for a reason and some immediately against me. Few, either lost or open, are actually hoping I'll prove it. As long as what I want them to believe will help them through it. And what if it won't? Manipulation sleeps in this space. What do we believe and why? Does credibility come from our parents' faces, our teachers' words, or the heart, a muscle for pumping blood, or the soul, the most vague word in this poem unless I write love? Do we believe what beauty tells us, the quality of packaging, or the cost of the clothes on those that promise the world? Or is it the cold, hard, factual reality, perceived not by eyes or fingertips, but our brains? Our brains, the only remaining mystery. It named itself so we could discuss it endlessly. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle. And next we have, all the way from Yale, Christy Barker.
Great. I've been grappling with a problem down there. I have two pieces to read, and I don't know which one to read. So one of them is a prose, which is kind of new, but it's a work in progress, and it's really to change your life, I swear to God. But I don't want to change your life, so I'm going to just change your outlook instead. So I'm going to revert to a familiar poem that I read here before, but because the prose is really good, but I don't know, I'm not ready for it, to be honest about it. It's not ready yet. It's fermenting, I'll read it another time.
We're fine.
If you're outside the door at 5 o'clock in the morning, I'll read it, I swear. Instead, I've read this before, but I haven't read it tonight before, so. It's called The Addict. He was an alcoholic, drug addicted, gambling addict, with an over-reliance on food and a fetish for shoes. A religious zealot whose depressions were manic, and an arsonist whose chain-smoking was old news. He had agoraphobia and was hooked on sex, and the kleptomaniac tendencies he could not avoid didn't help his long-term inferiority complex, which along with his hypochondria left him paranoid. One night, as his insomnia kept him awake, and he struggled with his allergy to bed linen, he swore that if only for his mother's sake, he would seek help and would suffer no more. Soon he was attending support meetings by the double. Every day and night he was part of some group or session that gathered in rooms anonymously and traded every trouble. He grew to love spilling his soul to an audience with discretion. You should come here. He cherished the camaraderie and benevolence of people he now adored. Life felt so good in these rooms of people on burdening walls. His self-esteem grew and his spirit soared as the joy of life filled his veins from head to toes. One by one, he beat his dependencies on alcohol, gambling, narcotics, depression, fears of heights, bouts of lows, and sniffing leather. His bulimia and nose picking went, as did his affinity for antibiotics. Nothing had ever, ever beat group therapy for making him feel better. Then one day, cutbacks. His nail-biting group was cut short. He felt faint. When everyone else had forgotten about the acute amnesia group, he cried. His nausea reminded him of when he first drank paint, as the necrophilia treatment program for which he lived also died. Whenever a precious gathering ended, he grew more agitated. Cold sweats and palpitations accompanied his angst-filled bleedings as he was denied the solace of discussing matters therapy-related. There dawned the terrible truth. He had become addicted to meetings. Now he began attending court cases to feed his new addiction. He showed up sweating at the funerals of people he never knew. He gate-crashed dressing rooms and inquests, causing friction. He queued idly in post offices. Any troubled crowd would do. He joined picket lines and bus queues to further his kicks. He ran for the council, hoping to feed monthly his tendency. When he latched into a rugby scrum for a quick but dangerous fix, he realized he needed rehabilitation for his diabolical dependency. In desperation, he formed MA, Meetings Anonymous, where people addicted to gatherings could be helped by staying away. Hundreds of addicts arrived at every meeting as MA became synonymous with aiding those not alone and being unable to be alone every day. Within a year, he was able to cope with avoiding crowds. He was the man who could cope without anything, including stimulation. Now he sits alone all day, staring out the window at the passing clouds. He hasn't yet admitted it, but he'd be lost without his daily meditation. Thank you.
Thank you, Christine. And our final act tonight is a father and son duo. And I think the son is here, is he? I didn't see him come in. He is, okay. Kieran and Alaga.
Completely different note.
What?
Savlian Nedeg Shadug Trigma Shanahar or Dort Mashanahar Er Aahar Gurevshe Kondol Vepartak Satrid Lahoglig Imla Clea Be Aahar Erbwilla Mar Redmondite Abai Agus Con Beder Con Stop Nu Beder Maru. You know, this this Trevsa Durche Erebok Mar Mar Adimiche on Doris. Na veshe falter rasharish. So, on la shin amok, gudi gafur mohin hana her boss niaka she avakarish. Istoga garo kri briste egan martaku, but bawalum fain is. Kieran Mabak Anish Ked Blin Nis Deni Omos a Hurt on Vertica Lesh on Drama Byogsha Is Mishima in Yanahar. Like I said,
Mishima.
Aher! Cahan dul convoher! To ober le den of a gun!
Ken ober a vocal! Ta fwilla le den of an sa!
Sho an ober is me le machria aher! Shashiv suris dor gina fein! Beg mehel moor er an moor! Slua, oglig, ag dul in maid!
Cad é sin na tá a rá agat obar da chrí ar grinne féin. Ní higam a vocal. Ná himig go fáil. Fán úr a tlig eile. Tán spéir a gairí dorica. Báistoc ag chop an ír.
Cahig me a mák in ish dírach. Tó bóhar fada róm. Ní lach burt a gwing ag dul on malia seo. Burt, oglig, ag dul gadi an nairi amach.
Ta chúis na gwilach burt a gwing ag dul o dún na ngal. Ta da carda imahe har saile. Chos an tori ag trid e son na dírha bioga. Ta an bóhar cart ar siúl a cu.